I am so happy you're here this morning because I have a wonderful, wonderful thing for you to take home with you today. Turn in your Bibles. I'll give you the page number so that you don't have to flip around too much. 885, Old Testament, 885. This is the 46th Psalm. Now, what we're going to do this morning is read it in little small sections and just let it fill through to us, just filter into us and absorb us so that we are filled with this message. I wanted to, I don't know what this is, a piece of popcorn? Or I guess it's just a piece of paper. We got to pray for Dick and Jane. I'm sad to report that he still needs 3 dialysis treatments a week, taking him down, taking the energy, and of course, her seeing this and driving him there and there, and you know all this. Now, in addition to this, I don't know what to make of this, but they're now giving him some cancer treatments. They had taken out a portion of his lung about a month ago, and I don't know if things are reappearing or if this is just safety, just to make sure, but that's taking him down in addition. So pray for Dick and Jane Irving. Then I got a report to you. You know, Douglas and I always give you a little bit of a medical report of anyone that's hospitalized or any problems that we know about. The Wildes, some pronounce it Wildy, I guess, but I think they call it Wildy, are really going through just an awful lot of discouragement and sorrow. And you remember how he used to bring her in the wheelchair, and on the Sundays where she couldn't come, he would just write on the attendance card that he was here and his wife was here spiritually. And he would always make that note. And I always found that so cute to read. She was here spiritually. She wanted to be here but couldn't be here physically. I often think of that when people miss church for no reason at all. They just decide to miss. I often think of those that are ill and would do anything if they could have the health to come and just can't make it because they're too ill. Well, now it's reached the point where it's obvious that she is dying. I don't think he realizes this. At least in his conversation with me, he didn't seem to. And I didn't say anything. One of the things that has happened to me through my ministry, in my early ministry, you know, I was a hospital chaplain. And so I've seen thousands of people die. I know what it looks like when people are dying. And she's at the stage now where her bones simply break. You don't have to fall. You don't have to hit anything. They just break. Both of her arms are broken now. And they are trying to regulate the medication for pain control. And they aren't able to get it done. Vicodin, for instance, is a very powerful painkiller. That's the thing that Brett Favre was hooked on. You remember the doctors were using Vicodin with him. And they can't get it controlled. They're using something oxidant. It doesn't matter what they are. But then the next step is, of course, morphine. And toward the very end, then it's simply a matter of how much morphine and how often and so on. Most people are probably aware, if they've had someone die in their family or in their relationship or some friend they know, that that's the final course. And what some friend or doctor or somebody finally does is give them an added shot of morphine, and then they pass away. So please pray for the Wildes and keep them in your prayers. Now, I wanted to just use that as an illustration. If you think everything has gone pretty well for you the last week or 10 days, you might think, hey, isn't this great to be here on this earth? I don't want to take that away from you, but it's pretty stupid. Because pretty soon you're going to be in an accident, or you're going to be sick, or you're going to be dying, or you have a financial loss. Our country is in total chaos now, in my opinion. Things are going from bad to worse. And you look at the nations around the world, you look at our world. Now, what I'm trying to remind you of is, in all this despair, in all this confusion, in all this illness, in all this death, this is what I want you to take home, is Psalm 46. Now, let's find the comfort here. It's not in medicine. It's not in families. It's not in knowing some great doctor. It's in knowing our God. And let's read this together slowly and try to comprehend what it is saying. Start at verse 1, and we will go down to the end of verse 3 where it says Selah. That means just praise God. It's a word that isn't translatable. It's just like hallelujah. And let's read the first three verses slowly. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. Here is the confidence that we have in God. God is our refuge and our strength. You know, I love what it says here. Even though the earth were to fall away, the first time I ever did this was at the seminary. And I tried to imagine how I would feel if the earth fell away. And I imagined that I was standing on a 2-foot square piece of ground. You just go outside and stand somewhere. It's 2 square feet, and you're standing there, and all of a sudden, the entire world falls away. There is nothing else there. Just you, standing on 2 square feet of ground. Do not be afraid. Can you just imagine that and picture that? Even if that was to happen and there is no world anymore, there would be no need to fear. Do you see what an enormous comfort this is? God, the Almighty God, is with you. He is our refuge and our strength. There it is. What do you have to fear? There's nothing left to fear. The Almighty God is taking care of you. Fantastic, fantastic. Look at the next section. Look at the next section, verse 4. And we will go down to the end of verse 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Okay. Let's pause there. We will get that in a minute. And the thing I want to call your attention to here is a very similar picture to which I just gave to you. Supposing everything is collapsing. It talked earlier about the oceans being in uproar. Have you ever watched that show? I think they go fishing for crabs or something. And it shows these ships in this uproarious oceans. And I used to, when I was much younger, when I was on a ship now and then, I love taking ships and going on cruises and things. It's beautiful. And whenever a storm would come up, I'd be the only person out on deck. I can remember several times when we're going through enormous storms, and I'd go to the front of the ship and wait as it would go down, and then the waves would come up and splash all over the top of the ship. I'd be the only guy out there. I found that very thrilling and very exciting. And I guess one of the most recent times, it wasn't too exciting. And I went inside, and I found out the next morning that was on the Aegean Sea, that a ship had gone down. So it wasn't just some little storm. A ship had actually sunk. And since then, I haven't been standing around on decks too much during storms. But picture this. And I kind of like this picture here again, where it says nations are in uproar. And everything is collapsing. Everything is going bad. And God has to just raise his voice a little bit. Just raise his voice. And the earth will melt. That's Judgment Day. When Jesus comes. Okay, that's it. Pull the plug. And God speaks. And the earth melts away. This is the God that you and I trust. He is the God in whom we place our confidence. He is the God that cares for us. What is there to fear? He is the Almighty God. He is still in charge. And once in a while, we think our president or Congress or somebody's in. They're not in charge. Thank God. God is in charge. He lets nations fall and rise. He can lift up a nation. I think the next nation being lifted up is Africa. I think we're going to see some amazing things. Hundreds of thousands of believers are converting in Africa and becoming Christians. And India is right next to them. India, hundreds of thousands of believers are coming to the Lord. It's just amazing. I talked to somebody who just came back from India. They said, Pastor Paul, you can't believe. Well, yes, I can. I've been there too. I've seen what it means. He was to 8 villages. And how those villages who had, you know, not over 10, 20 years ago were bowing down to stones and idols, are now worshiping and singing hymns of praise to Jesus. God is at work all around the world. He's not doing much here in America because we won't let him. We are unbelievers here. And we live immoral lives here. I actually believe America is under judgment. I do believe that. I'm sorry to have to say that. I wish I could say that God is lifting up America. He is not lifting up America. Things are getting worse and worse, and they're not anywhere near the bottom. You wait and see. 20 years from now. But you and I, the believers in Jesus Christ, the children of God, what do we have to fear? Once in a while, I'll make a crazy statement like, you know, our investments aren't doing too well. And my wife, knowing full well how I feel about Obama, from the bathroom or somewhere, don't worry, Paul. Obama said he'll take care of us. You know, big joke in our house. At any rate, what I'm saying to you this morning is not a joke. God, the Almighty God, this God, is the one who's caring for you and me. What do we have to fear? We can imagine that more clearly if we're Mrs. Wiley. We can see it a little more clearly a week or two from our death. We'll see it more clearly. But we should be able to see that right now. We have nothing to fear. Let's read the conclusion of Psalm 46, beginning with verse 8. And you were right. I missed a verse. Let's start at verse 8 and read to the end. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isn't that majestic? God, the God of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what they always used to say. The Old Testament prophets. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then in the New Testament, they would say, well, that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And everyone knew they were talking that the God that led them from captivity to the promised land, that God was their God. Now, I want to send three more verses home with you today. I hope you write these down, at least write the reference down on your attendance card or somewhere. Put them in the front of your Bible. Turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew. New Testament, 11th chapter. New Testament, 11th chapter. Mr. Cleavy, Otto, will you help me then with communion? Thank you. Everyone knows Pastor Doug and Connie and the boys are vacationing up in Canada. Keep them in your prayers. Okay, now you're at the 11th chapter of Matthew. What's the page number? 1512. Is that right? 1512. Now turn to verse 28, 29, and 30. You see why I'm asking you to go there? Matthew 28, 29, and 30. God's personal invitation to you and me. Come, come to me. This is the same God that we've been talking about in Psalm 46. This is his son, Jesus Christ. Same God. Whatever the need, this ought to be in the front of every one of your Bibles. It ought to be underlined, circled. It ought to be on a piece of notepaper by your Bible. You're going to have troubles. You're here on earth. There's going to be difficulties. Go to Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Drink it in. Rejoice in the fact that our God is a mighty God, the only God, and his fortress and his protection over us is total. We need not fear. Amen.